Let's go, guys. We are live, episode 94, Kneel Down Podcast.
Been doing in this the flesh. We are since, here.
Been doing this since March of 2022. Finally figured out video.
Hey, you're the technical guy, so that's, I don't know if it's on me. It might be on you.
Call us boomers, but.
We are almost 30.
Every episode, if you're still listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you're still on there. Just know we have video now. Created a YouTube channel. Go check us out. We'll be doing videos on TikTok now. We're up to date with the times.
It took us a while, but we're here.
We're back. Episode 94, we're creeping up on 100 here. I think we'll be just done with the division breakdowns. And
yeah,
we got to plan something big for our 100th.
A giveaway?
We could. Someone suggest we should give away.
I know. It sucks that there isn't really any breaking news right now in the NFL besides, you know, Dalvin Cook is expected to be released any second. They're still hoping for trade talks, but teams are just hoping that they can get him without having to give away like a fifth or a sixth rounder. The two top teams are the Jets and Cowboys. Would really be great for both teams, but it would hurt for Breece Hall and my guy this year, Tony Pollard.
It would help my Pollard case, that's for sure.
Then my thoughts and stance would change a little bit.
Right.
It sucks because I have Breece in Dynasty, and I got Pollard in a best ball. I want him in every redraft that I have this year. That's kind of the only big news that's happening right now in the NFL.
Right. I mean, Cook's still, 26, 27? He'll actually almost be 28 by the time the season starts. He's over the hill in, you know, running back age, but he could still be a serviceable running back.
It would be good. It would hurt Breece Hall's redraft value, but his dynasty would still be there. I think Cook would be a one-year deal with the Jets, maybe a little bit longer with the Cowboys, maybe a two-year. So after the one-year, Breece Hall would be, you know, 2 years fully removed from his ACL, still only 24, I believe, would still be that big dynasty asset.
Right. Mason's draft today, he came up with it. Best emojis. I don't know how we haven't thought of this yet, but it's a good one.
I'm a big emoji guy. You're kind of with emojis, at least to like the guys. I don't know what you do with Kate.
No, I don't send emojis. It's just not my forte, but there is a clear 101.
There's a clear 101, and I think for guys, a 102 as well. And I hate giving you the 101. I didn't even write it down because I know I'm not going to get it. They want to waste my time.
Yeah, no suspense needed. It's a crying, laughing emoji. It's used. You use it every fucking other text, it seems like.
All right. Well, I do, so I don't know how your phone is set up. I'll type out LOL, or I'll type out a word and then use the emoji. I don't go and find the emoji. I type it out. Yeah, so I'll do LOL, and then I'll click the emoji button when it pops up for me automatically. Oh,
I don't know if my phone's set up like that. I just type LOL and send it. Or you go in the bottom left corner for like a sentence, and then, that's how I do it.
Yeah, that ain't it. I hate when my phone doesn't work for some reason, or if I'm texting on Megan's, and I'm like, okay, where's the emoji for this?
I like searching like a couple minutes for actual like GIFs instead of emojis.
Oh yeah, GIFs are top tier.
They are.
I'm glad you pronounce it correctly too.
Oh my god, we're not pronouncing peanut butter.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I think for us guys, and especially more sports guys, maybe I'm gonna go the fire emoji.
That was easy. The 102. Yeah, okay. That was easily 102. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
I use that one a lot too.
I was going back and forth, but there's the fire, you can only use it in like one circumstance. Crying laughing is just an all-time, probably top tier emoji.
Well, and it can be used to be an ass too.
And to be a what?
To be like an ass, to be a douche. Like if you're just like laughing at someone.
Yeah. You're getting in an argument and you send the crying laughing emoji. You're catching his hands.
Oh, I know. That's how I make Megan mad all the time, because I'll just send that emoji.
So this, I got my number three here, and I use this in the same scenario as crying laughing. If I send this, it's the skull with like the bones behind it. If I send If okay. I send that, I think that text is way funnier than me just sending the crying laughing face.
Okay, I'm glad. I don't use that one. I use the other skull, like the death.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that one more. So I'm not going to take it because I'm assuming you're not going to take both skulls. I guess if you want to, you can.
I am not.
I need a laughing one. So I'm just going to go the sideways laughing emoji.
Oh, the diagonal one?
The diagonal, yeah. Because that one is, it's still, you know, the laughing gets the point across. But I feel like that's more like ha-ha funny joke, where yours, it can be the, you know, the funny and like that start a fight almost.
I don't think I've ever used that in my life. I mean, I don't know why.
I mix it up every now and then. I'll mix it up. But I know a lot of other people use that one instead.
So we're going 5 rounds, right?
Yeah. I just sent you my first 2.
Okay. My third pick, I send this when shit is fucked up. The upside down smile is hilarious.
Okay.
I always send it when shit's fucked up, or if I totally disagree and I don't have anything else to say, I just send that back.
Okay, that's a good one. I have a different emoji for that purpose, and it's on here. But I'm going to go with, I think technically if you type in nervous, this is what comes up. It's the little, like, smile, but the sweat's coming down.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The
nervous smile.
Yeah, I do that when, like, I'm sending something risky. I'm like, I'm nervous, for a sporting event. Like, oh, Justin Fields is going to be the QB1, almost.
Yeah, that one did not make the list. I went through my recents, and I have 12, 13 on my list. They all came from my recents.
Okay.
So my fourth pick. I don't know. These are so tough. My fourth pick, I'm just going to go with the flexing bicep one.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
I use that one a lot. I always use it when I agree with someone, when I think something's sick, or when I'm, lit for an event. So flexing bicep, boom, made the list. First hand gesture we've had on here so far.
It is. And I'm going to keep with the faces. I'm going to go with the eye roll. When the eyes
are looking up. Yeah.
I send that to you a lot, especially when we're talking about sports. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, stop with that take. Like, just stop.
I feel like that's in every girl's top 5.
Oh, probably. Probably. But I use it a lot when, again, I'm like, seriously, like, just stop.
And then my last pick, it's not even a face. It's just the 2 side eyes looking sideways. Like,
yeah.
When I think something's going to be sick, or when someone has a great idea, you send the eyes, you know it's going to be a great idea.
Yep. Nope. That's a good one. I've got so many left that I use a lot. Like I said, I've talked about the other deaf one. I have my smirk that I use a lot, the smirk emoji.
Yeah.
And then the thinking one. Kind of goes back to like my eye roll, like, you really think that? But I'm gonna go with I need the death, because that's when it's something is actually balls fucking fire, hilarious, you're dying, you're rolling. That's when I use the death emoji, when you actually make me crack up.
Yeah, I agree. This looks so weird typing it out, but
yeah,
it's gonna be the shortest draft I'll ever have to type out in the iPhone.
Yeah, I know.
I left 1, 2, I left 5 off my list. I had the 100 emoji I use a lot.
I had that one.
The smile melting in the puddle, like the half face in the puddle, I use a lot.
Yep.
The smile with the sunglasses on. And then I don't use these too much, but I see boomers use them a lot. The rock on one, and then the hang loose one.
I used to do this one a lot, but I kind of just stopped. I feel like it's more of a summer emoji, you know?
Yeah.
The other one that I had on here that I use a lot as well, it's just like, it's the shocked, like it's like the big eyes and like cheeks are like a little red. I'll send it to you right now. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It's like when someone like says something, or if a trade goes down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm utterly just shocked. So that was probably like the next one, but it just didn't make the cut.
All right, so my team is crying, laughing, the skull with the crossbones behind it, upside down smile, flexing bicep, and the side eyes. Mason is the fire, but diagonal laughing, nervous smile, the eye roll, and death.
Just the standard skull.
Just the standard skull. I don't know who's going to win this one. We only got 4 votes out of 8 people.
I know, and that was a good draft, I thought.
But yeah. AFC South.
Whoa. Yeah, sorry to bring you this fire of a division on the first video recording of the kneel down.
Yeah, so the Jaguars 9-8 last year. They went on a terrific run to overtake the Titans. Obviously, we saw the Titans collapse at the end of the year, but start with the man at the helm, Trevor Lawrence.
The prince, they call him.
The prince, let his rookie year, everyone just throws out QB22. Last year, though, QB8 in a sophomore year, 4,100 yards, 25 touchdowns and 8 picks. Added on the 5 rushing touchdowns. I mean, if you really do a deep dive into it, though, he had 7 games last year throwing more than 1 touchdown. I mean, that's just not super consistent.
Yeah.
He obviously did add Calvin Ridley. He needs things to go right for him to have top 5 upside. I would be shocked if he finished inside the top 5. I think 6 to 10 is a fair range for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, his ADP is in the 7th round. People think the same thing. So,
yeah, I like him a lot. I know I had acquired him in Dynasty, then traded him because I had Burrow or Hurst at the time. But he was, like you said, QB8. I think that's really his floor last year. Weeks 10 through 16, he had 1 game outside of a QB10. So you saw it just get better and better throughout the year. We saw that amazing playoff comeback. And where he's going to get better is they were 15th in passing touchdowns last year. That's not good for a QB of the ability of Trevor Lawrence, 25. Right. Why can't he get to 35? In what world would you be shocked if he threw 35 touchdowns next year?
10 more touchdowns. I mean, if he
35, does. Is that a lot? Is 35 a lot?
If he does, he's definitely top 5. But I don't know.
And that's all I'm saying he has to do is, I get, you hear the number 10 more touchdowns, that's a lot. It's a lot when it's 35 to 45, not 25 to 35.
Right.
So I think that's why I'm more optimistic on him. Like you said, they did add Calvin Ridley. They added, another running back to kind of help. Maybe they'll get the guy we talk about next, ETN, more involved in the passing game. But I just think his touchdown total was so low that it's easily he should be over 32 touchdowns next year. I would really be shocked. So that's why I think I'm a little bit more. He has top 5, top maybe even 3 upside.
So ADP 701. So let's just say 6th round. You get 2 running backs, 2 receivers. Are you drafting him as high as the 5th round? Then put your money where your mouth is.
It would obviously depend on what the board looks like and. What guys would I have? Let's say I have Jefferson. I'm trying to go like the top guys. Jefferson, Pollard, Jacobs, and who would be a 4th round receiver at this moment?
Debo falls.
Gross. If I had Debo, I'd probably look for the
receiver. Devonta Smith in the 4th round.
I wouldn't mind taking him there. I know that I'm drafting him at his ceiling, which isn't terrible because I know I'm going to get a consistent guy on a high power offense who I have them easily winning this division. If he throws 35, even 30 touchdowns, Geno Smith threw 30 touchdowns last year.
At 6-point passing touchdowns, add 5 more touchdowns. That's 30 more fantasy points.
I think he jumped up from the QB8 to borderline QB5 just from 5 more passing touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, it's doable, but I don't know. With these rushing quarterbacks now, Lamar coming back, it's tough to compete with these guys.
Right, but he can rush because he is 6'6". Like, he gets those goal line opportunities because they don't really like ETN in the goal line. He's not a small guy, but when you have a 6'6 quarterback who can do a 1-yard sneak from him is his arm length.
Right.
They're going to give him that opportunity. So that's why I like Lawrence a lot. Dynasty. He's a great guy to have. We have our startup dynasty. I love him. And he's running out that 6th round. If he's there, I'm going to pull.
I'm targeting.
That's why I took Hurts last year, and I loved it. So I'm hoping I can get Lawrence in our next dynasty startup.
So before we talk about ETN, Is Tank Bigsby a thing? Because I don't think so at all. But I've seen some smoke. I've seen some fire.
I think he is.
His ETN's ADP is still in the third round. Obviously, most people don't think he's going to be that big of a factor. He'll just be a nagging like third down running back. He'll be on the field, maybe 20% of snaps. ETN's still the clear RB1. So obviously, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm going to say, yeah, he's the clear RB1. I think Bigsby, he's 6 feet, 213 pounds, right around the same size as ETN. But again, it was a third round pick. That's where teams start to, the last part where teams are valuing running backs and the draft aspect. I'm not taking Tank in any draft really, maybe unless I get ETN and I take him as a handcuff, but even then I probably wouldn't. But I'm not as high on ETN as you might be though.
I mean, he only saw 14% of the targets last year. That sucks. He's second lowest in the league. RB17 last year, he put up 1,100 rushing yards, 5 rushing touchdowns, 0 touchdowns through the passing game, and only 316 yards. You know, obviously, if he doesn't get more involved in the passing game, which I don't think he will, adding Calvin Ridley, I don't think he could be an RB1. I don't see him as a top 12 back in this offense.
Yeah, I agree. He had 12 games outside of the top 20. 12. Yeah. And he's being drafted around where he finished. So it's not like his ADP is insane right now.
Right.
But I'm not taking him at his ADP. I would take him the next round is where I'd be happy taking him.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If I drafted ETN in the third round as my RB1 and I had 2 superstar wide receivers, I'm totally fine with that. I'm just not drafting him to be a top 12 back.
Yeah, because I just don't see where he can. Again, you add in Trevor Lawrence, who can run the ball and will take away goal-line opportunities, as you mentioned, Calvin Ridley. I think ETN's a fine play, a fine pick. He's right at his ADP, is right where he ended. So I agree with everything on what Fantasy World's saying, but right. I just don't see the upside for him to be a top 10.
Yeah, I mean, week 7, 8, they had a bye, week 9, and then the 3-week stretch of running back 9, 7, and 3. Outside of that, he didn't have many great weeks.
So. No, and like you had said, he was targeted on 12.7% of routes. That was the second lowest out of a running back. So
right,
yeah, Lawrence just doesn't check down like he did to him in college. A little bit different.
Let's talk about the wide receiver 1. According to the depth chart, Calvin Ridley, he's going in the. His ADP is right in the middle of the 6th round, 604. We have absolutely no idea what this dude's going to do. And that scares the shit out of me. I will not be drafting him in the 6th round. You know, obviously, he hasn't played in over 700 days. If he returns back to the wide receiver 1 2 years ago in 2020, drafting him in the 6th round, he'll look like a genius. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, he's going to suck and he's going to blow up your lineup in the 6th round. It's just I mean, I don't want to say betting on it. That's a poor choice of words, but you're betting on Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. The only upside that I can say is there are 23% total targets missing from the team last year. That's including from the running backs, the wide receivers, all the tight ends. If all 23% of those targets go to Ridley, that'll be fine because that's what Christian Kirk saw, 23.2% of targets. But right. That's just not going to happen. So for him to do that, he's going to need all 23% and maybe more. But there is a world where it does work because if Trevor Lawrence does pass for 35 touchdowns, that's 10 more than he did, then it'll work.
I was going to say, if you're a big Lawrence believer taking that next step in the top 5, then I'm assuming you're higher on Ridley than I am.
I'm higher on Kirk. Ridley, I don't trust a guy who hasn't played in 700 days.
I mean, yeah, so Kirk is going one round later. I would much rather just take the risk on Kirk. It's the same risk.
Right.
He was a wide receiver 11 last year. It's the first time he finished inside the top 24. He's not going to do that again.
No, he'll be a wide receiver 2, I think. I think they both could be
right.
Receiver 18 to 28.
I'm saying he won't be a wide receiver 1 finishing.
No, no.
9 finishes inside the top 24 last year, but his other 8 games outside the top 36, so it showed a little bit of inconsistency.
Mm-hmm. You
know, obviously, the season as a whole was a win as a wide receiver 11, but kind of fizzled out at the end of the last year. Added Ridley into the mix. You know, his ADP is going to be I think it's pretty accurate in the seventh round, honestly, just a big flex guy. You're not counting on him to do anything but give you 10 to 12 fantasy points a week, I think.
Yeah, and especially because I still do have Zay Jones, who was a wide receiver 26 last year, which is crazy to think about. No one really wanted him. No one even thought of him.
No. And
He was 100. He had 121 targets. Like, there is a world where Kirk can be the wide receiver 11 and Ridley is the wide receiver 26. There could be a world where that happens, but then Zay Jones is dead. But I just don't see that happening. I see it being very evenly distributed.
I see it being distributed between Kirk and Ridley. I think Zay Jones is going to be on the waiver wire again.
I think Zay Jones will see 70 to 80 targets.
Which is, he'll have his couple good games. He'll be people spend $10, $15 in fab, overreact, and it'll be for nothing.
Well, let's talk about your boy.
I don't want him to be my boy. I want another tight end. Evan Engram, big part of why I got the championship in our dynasty last year. Weeks 14 and 16, he was the tight end. Hold on, hang on. Let me grab
He was 4-1-6-5 from weeks 13 to 16.
And he blew up at the end of the year. Tight end 6 on the year, 766 yards, only 4 touchdowns. But I did the math, 36% of those yards came from 2 weeks, weeks 14 and week 16. And again, the narrative, same thing with Kirk. You add Ridley to this offense.
Mm-hmm.
What really is Evan Engram's ceiling? He's being drafted in the 8th round. I don't love that.
No, not at all.
People are just remembering what he did to in the fantasy playoffs last year. I can't trust Evan Engram.
It was his highest finish ever.
Since his rookie year.
Yeah, which is when he was supposed to be what he did because he was drafted to do that.
Right. Yeah, I would much rather take the guy we'll talk about on the Titans, Chig, a couple rounds later, or David Njoku type deal. So
Dulcich.
I'm out on Evan Engram at his ADP.
Yes, I'm out on him in general. Even if they're in 12th round, I'm not taking him because he could easily be the third leading target guy, but you could see him as the fourth leading target guy behind Zay Jones. Zay and Ridley both had 20 and 30 more targets than him. There's a world where he's the fourth leading target on a team that was ninth in passing attempts in the league.
Woof. So would you rather rank these tight ends in redraft? Say they're all being drafted in the same spot. Evan Engram, Cole Kmet, Trey McBride. That's the reality for some dynasty managers out there.
I was gonna say upside of Trey McBride because he could be the second leading target guy, and there are rumors that Kyler Murray might start this season.
He could.
So I would rather take the upside from that quarterback. Do I believe Lawrence is a better quarterback? Of course, but they have two possible elite to really good receivers compared to Cardinals have one.
Right. Yeah, Cole Kmet's for sure last. I think Evan Engram will finish higher than Trey McBride. I think McBride will get off to a slow start, especially if Murray doesn't start the year. But
you're right.
Let's move on here. That was the meat and potatoes of this AFC South. The other three teams.
Yeah, the next three teams are really gonna fly by.
Titans 7-10. They lost pretty much every damn game back half of the year last year. Missed out on the playoffs. Partly due to Ryan Tannehill lingering injuries. I wrote Tannehill slash Levis on our breakdown. I think Tannehill's going to start damn near every game this year. So we'll just talk about him. QB's 27 last year, playing 12 games. He's going to be a streaming quarterback at best this year. Let's call a spade a spade. But the past 2 years, he did play full seasons. He had 41 total touchdowns and 28 total touchdowns. I mean, he was a serviceable guy. You're not drafting him. You're going to pick him up off waivers in case of injuries or whatever else. But you're not drafting him, and I truly don't really want any piece of this quarterback room.
No, it's – and besides that part, there's only one you can really say he only has one wide receiver, and that's Treylon Burks, who hasn't shown anything. It's they drafted him, and he has a draft capital, and he showed some glimpses. But right. It's not like he still has A.J. Brown, who has done it year after year after year. He doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to that you can rely on right now.
Yeah, it helps with those 41 touchdowns to have a guy like A.J. Brown on your team, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, I mean, so there's only two guys I'm excited to have, at maybe three guys at their ADP, and the first one is King Henry. In Dynasty, I think you just got to keep riding with him. He's not slowing down. In redraft, he's going back towards that 1-2 turn now.
Yeah.
For a guy that's getting 350 carries and saw his most ever targets, and again, a wide receiver tight end room that's depleted, why not take him?
I feel like he's being so overlooked. He's still going to be 29 by the time the season starts. It's not like this Titans offense is just going to be like, oh, fuck Henry now. Like, who's this guy? Literally, he was the RB4 last year with 390 opportunities. What are we doing drafting him at the back of the first round? It's just people like drafting their new shiny toys. I totally get if you want to take Bijan, I would take Bijan over Henry. If you want to take Taylor, you want to take Hall, that's totally fine. But Henry's going to be another top five back this year.
Yeah, it's just because he's going to get the opportunities, which is what you can ask for. That's all you can ask for in fantasy is opportunities. And they drafted a running back this year, but the dude doesn't have an ACL on either. He doesn't have has no ACLs. I'm not trusting that.
No.
I'm riding with Henry.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bigger player flying under the radar right now than Derrick Henry, to be honest.
And I'll kind of just say it now so I don't have to repeat myself for Burks and Chig. There are 46% of targets missing from last year from the running backs, wide receiver, and tight end. From Dontrell Hilliard, Robert Woods, and Austin Hooper are the main of it. Yeah. 46 targets. If 5%, we'll say 5%, because Dontrell Hilliard had 6%, go to Henry, that's a bump from 41 targets, his career high ever, to maybe 51.
And he had 400 receiving yards last year. People always look at Henry as this ground and pound Nick Chubb type running back. Yeah. You go from 400 receiving yards to even 500. The PPR machine, dude. That's the top five back. Almost lock it in at this point.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that stat because it's the same thing for the next two guys. And let's talk about a guy you have in Dynasty. Him and I, we've talked about him going back and forth in some trades.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks. I'll let you go because you got him.
Yeah, his ADP in the eighth round, take a wide receiver one on a team. These Tannehill targets and yards have to go somewhere.
They got to go somewhere.
They have to. I mean, at the eighth round, I'll take him all fucking day there. Yeah. Their depth chart, it's laughable. I get this is a run-first team. No one's denying that. You know, Henry's going to easily get another 350-plus opportunities, but wide receiver one on the team, he'll see 7-8 targets averaging a game. I mean, we'll see if the quality of the passes are there, but if Levis is the starter down the year, I'll change that a little bit. But if Tannehill is the starter most of the year, I mean, Burks is a top 24 receiver.
Yeah, I mean, we saw London, who we haven't talked about yet, but we'll talk about him soon.
He next week
didn't have a great target, but he was still a wide receiver, I think 30 or better, with terrible quarterback play. Treylon Burks can do that, and he doesn't have a Kyle Pitts on his team to take those targets away.
I mean, yeah, we asked if you guys listened last week, Mason asked me, or I asked Mason, one of the two, but who would you rather have, straight up Burks or Jahan Dotson? I still go back and forth between those guys.
I said
Dotson last week, but I don't want to say I'm high on Burks just because it's not a great offense, but I mean, you can't argue with the fact that he's the wide receiver one.
Yeah, both first round drafted guys. One did it more last year, but the other one in Dotson who showed it, he has a guy ahead of him who will see more targets, where Burks is the wide receiver one, just didn't show anything last year. Both have questionable quarterbacks, so it's what do you value more, the most targets on the team or someone who's done it for a year already as a rookie?
Right. And then this tight end, Chig Okonkwo, came out of nowhere the back half of last year. No one even knew his name heading into week 12. His ADP is in the 12th round. Obviously, he's basically free at the end of your draft to take with one of your last picks. I had four top 10 finishes inside. Top 10 finishes as a rookie. He has the opportunity to be this year's late round tight end. You know, we were both high on Cole Kmet, didn't pan out, but there's always that one late round guy that everybody thinks is like a sneaky pick, but everybody knows about, so it's not a sneaky pick. This year is big.
And it was Evan Engram and Cole Kmet last year, and Engram proved it. Chig, the biggest thing on him is he led all NFL tight ends, not just rookie tight ends, all NFL tight ends in yards per route run at 2.6. That's just insane. And like I mentioned, it's just Burks and that's it. Henry isn't a big PPR guy. So I'm not going to be shocked if he is the second leading target guy on his team. That's really all you can ask for, not even from a late round tight end, but a tight end in general.
I mean, all Chig has to do is 700 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's a top 12 guy. You're drafting in the 12th round.
I can tell you exactly what he can do. We just said his name. 73 receptions, 766 yards, 4 touchdowns. That was tight end 5 last year. That was Evan Engram.
Yep.
He can easily do that.
I mean, yeah, I think the possibility is more real than not for Chig to top end. I don't want to say top 5, but top 10 for sure.
Oh, yeah, top 10. Which, again, those tight ends 6 through 10, they're all meh. And it doesn't matter. But right. When you get him at his ADP of, I think, 13 or 14, then that's where you feel like a winner. You did it right.
For sure. Let's talk about the shit teams in this division. Colts, 4-12-1 last year. That was enough to land them third in their division.
You got to be a Colts, like, happy, though, for their bad record. And that loss at the end of the season.
Oh, for sure. Anthony Richardson is ADP's in the 12th round, back of the 12th round right now for redraft. He is in line to be the week one starter. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. He definitely needs work as a passer. No one's denying that. But if he
That's an understatement.
I know. Let's just say he throws 2,000 yards, the bare minimum, and he rushes for 750 yards and a couple, like 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. He's gonna flirt with a top 12 finish. He will.
He's not. We talked about this with Josh Allen.
I think he will.
The same thing. That's QB 22.
That's borderline. So 2,000 passing yards is borderline. It's like the bottom line. I think I know you pulled up the Josh Allen numbers before.
He has to throw for probably 3,000. But what was Fields last year? Because he's not going to. He could run for 1,000, but that doesn't happen a lot. Let me look at Fields' stats.
So even
Fields' rookie year, which is where he probably rushed for a decent amount. Okay, Fields rushed for 420 yards his rookie year, threw for 2,000. Granted, he threw 7 touchdowns and 10 picks. Oh, that's so funny to look at.
Dolphin.
But even the following year, 2,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, and he had almost 1,200 rushing yards. And he was the QB7. Is Richardson really going to rush for 1,200 rushing yards with a guy like Jonathan Taylor on the team? And receiver. You guys didn't have a Michael Pittman last year.
No, like, yeah, I was going to say Mooney was even hurt last year, and Mooney's no Pittman.
Like, I just don't see how he can do that. At least that's my belief in Anthony Richardson. He could come out and throw for 3,200 yards and rush for 600, and then he's top 7.
He could. So last year, Fields had 25 total touchdowns, 1,100 rushing yards. If Richardson, just say, again, between passing and rushing, 25 touchdowns and, let's say, 700 rushing yards, that's a top 12 finish. He doesn't have to finish where Fields finished. That's a top 12 finish.
But he cannot be your only quarterback in redraft. He cannot be your
Hell
only
no. quarterback. No.
Your team better be absolutely stacked. And even then, I'd still be scared because you're only going to get 12 points probably the first half of the year or game.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. If you're waiting and waiting and waiting, I've done a couple of redraft mocks where I've taken Rodgers in the 10th round and Richardson in the 12th, 13th, or Geno back-to-back or Daniel Jones back-to-back.
Yeah.
If Richardson is your week one fantasy starter, you're a fucking idiot.
You know? Well, who do they play week one? Maybe it's not. Let me see.
if they're playing the Texans,
I looked yesterday when I was doing – they play Jags and then Texans.
You got some steel cojones if you play Richardson week one. But
maybe.
Yeah.
Because okay, but your Rodgers and Richardson. Rodgers plays the Bills week one. Would you rather play Richardson against the Jags defense or Rodgers and on his new team against the Bills?
Week one's always a crapshoot. Give me the better quarterback.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor's ADP is 106, so middle of the first round still. A rushing quarterback, you go from Matt Ryan to Anthony Richardson. Rushing quarterbacks take away opportunities from running backs. That's just a fact. Yeah. But Taylor still has top five upside when healthy. Besides the games he got injured, he finished with double-digit fantasy points every game but one. RB6 and RB1 his previous two seasons. There's not much else to say besides if Taylor's healthy all year, he's a top five running back.
And I just don't know. I'm not excited. I would not take him at the 106. You talked about those games. He saw seven targets and when he was the RB2 on the week. And then when he was the RB1 on the week, he had a rush for 150 yards to do it. Like, that's not – you can't keep those. His 2 weeks that he was the 1 and 2, 160 yards with the seven targets, and then the 147 yards. Like, that's not sustainable. And so you bring on Anthony Richardson, a rookie quarterback. They don't dump off. They don't check down. And yeah. he's a runner. Again, look at all like Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts running backs. They don't see targets. And now this guy is huge, Josh Allen. His running backs don't see targets and goal line opportunities. I'm not high on JT this year. I would not take him in the first round.
In the first round at all.
That's insane. I think there's way other guys that have higher upside. I would be shocked if JT is a top five running back.
So you say you're on the clock at 106. Let's say McCaffrey, Eckler, Jefferson, Chase, Kupp are gone. Barkley or Taylor?
Barkley.
Okay, I would agree. I would take
Barkley. Okay, I was going to say. Because I have best ball right now.
Oh, I'm pulling up the fantasy footballers rankings. Travis Kelce, his ADP is 108. Would you take a tight end first round over Jonathan Taylor?
I would.
I would not.
His best ball ranking, Jonathan Taylor, is 10. He's after Diggs, Saquon, and Adams. And Saquon is the 12th. So that's that first round. I would take Saquon over him in a heartbeat. Diggs, I would have to think about.
I would take Taylor over Diggs and Adams without even thinking.
Right now, since D-Hop, if there's no D-Hop on the Bills, I'll take Diggs every day because he's going to see 150 targets and 10 touchdowns. Are you going to be shocked if JT doesn't get 10 rushing touchdowns?
I'm not. I would be shocked. I'm not. I think he will get 10 rushing touchdowns.
He had four last year. I get he didn't play in every game, but he only had four last year. I'm just not high on him. And you know, Adams, I would take JT over Adams because he's elite, I just don't trust the QB situation right now. CD, I would think about.
I would take CD over. I like building my teams around wide receivers, but that's just me.
Right. Yeah, I'm just not as high. I just think there's a lot of question marks just around, and it's a new head coach. It's a new coach. It's a new coaching scheme. They clearly want Richardson. They could have gotten the first overall pick and picked any quarterback that they wanted.
Right.
They traded up for the third. They didn't. They took Richardson, a mobile guy who's an inaccurate passer, and it's just going to hurt JT.
Yeah, I mean, as far as other first-round running backs go, we just talked about Henry. I would take Henry, and I would take the Bijan hype right now over Taylor.
What about Josh Jacobs?
No, that's too far.
Okay.
I would take Taylor.
Josh Jacobs, RB3 last year. Nothing has changed really on that team besides the quarterback, and it's a little bit down of a downgrade, but not really.
It's a horse apiece.
Okay.
Michael Pittman, ADP all the way back in the sixth round. I didn't check the 2022 ADP, but wasn't he going third? I don't think he slipped to the fourth round.
Third round. I took him in the third round, I recall.
This is where it gets dicey. I think Taylor's a pretty safe pick in my opinion, obviously not to you, but this, we can't deny this is where it gets super dicey. Wide receiver 23 with Matt Ryan, Sam Ellinger, backup quarterbacks. The targets were there. He was averaging 8.7 targets a game, but the only four touchdowns hurt him. He could have finished closer to those wide receiver one numbers had he gotten a couple more touchdowns. But you know, if you believe Richard, which most people do, if you believe Richardson's only going to throw for 2,200, 2,300, 2,400 yards, that's not great.
No. Pittman, we always say draft on talent, not situation. And the talent is so there for Pittman. It has been since he was drafted at the early second round in that 2020 draft. This is a contract year for him. That's usually when you see players kind of have a big season because they want the money. Yeah. But it, you know, I see it kind of the same way. If you believe in Richardson, you believe in Pittman. If you don't believe, he's going to finish around this number again. I think he will. Just because he's the clear alpha wide receiver one. You talk about Treylon Burks. I'd rather have, as a receiver, I'd rather have Pittman.
Give me Pittman over Burks for sure. But so, he's also going two rounds earlier. Would you rather have Burks in the middle of the eighth or Pittman at the start of the sixth? Damn near fifth round.
Probably.
That's Burks for me.
So I think I go back and forth on him. I love Pittman. I have him on my team. And I don't see him being anything worse than a wide receiver 25. I don't see him being worse than that, but he could be, you know, Richardson, they love his arm strength. Pittman could have some days where he goes 4 for 150 and two, like that could be a day for him. And those are the games where they take over the inconsistent games. And now he's your wide receiver 13 on the year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, looking at those receivers, I'll pull up guys. I think his ADP is pretty damn
accurate. He's the wide receiver 29 on best ball. Tyler Lockett is right before him. Tyler Lockett or Pittman?
Pittman.
Christian Kirk or Pittman?
Easily Pittman.
Mike Williams or Pittman?
Pittman.
We'll go a little bit spicier. Scary Terry.
Terry. That's okay. Terry for sure.
So Kirk and Lockett are ahead of him, and then Terry was wide receiver 26. What about wide receiver 25, Jerry Jeudy or Pittman?
Pittman for sure.
Okay.
I don't trust any single Denver Bronco this year.
What about your new wide receiver one, DJ Moore or
Pittman? Pittman.
Okay.
I don't trust this Bears passing offense at all.
All right, So where he's being drafted, you think is a steal? Because you've just said, you know, Chris Godwin, we'll say, is the wide receiver 23.
Or Pittman. I think Godwin's just an overall better receiver. I'll take Godwin.
Okay. So we'll pencil him. So Pittman's going at pick 63. You had him above DJ Moore at pick 50. That's a lot of spots.
That's a whole round earlier.
That's a whole round. So those numbers, now would you take Pittman where he's at? If he went right at the ADP, he's your wide receiver 3.
That's tough because if I have a couple star-studded receivers, I'll take a Lawrence. I'll take a Fields in the fifth round over a Michael Pittman. Maybe I'll take a Miles Sanders or, you know, just another. I like the value of people in the fifth or sixth round over the wide receiver value where those receivers are going.
Well, all those other guys you listed are – 7 spots and higher than Pittman. So okay. let's say Sanders is gone. The running backs around after Sanders is Akers, Pierce, Mixon, who's now looking like a steal, but obviously that'll change. Cook, and yeah, so those are the running backs going ahead of Pittman.
I mean, it's all just situational. If it's straight up, if I need both positions, I'll take Pittman over Akers. I don't know. It's tough. It's really who you believe in.
Yeah. But, okay.
And then I coupled all the rest of the passing guys together. Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, the rookie, Jelani Woods. I wrote, no thanks. With Richardson at the helm, these guys won't be drafted. They'll all be on the waiver wire.
Yeah. Jelani Woods, Jelani Woods was a third round pick last year. So they believe in him. He's a big bodied guy. I think he'll take a step up this season, but nothing worth wasting a draft pick.
I was going to say step up from what, shit?
Yeah. He's drafted high. He's a big athletic freak. The writing's on the wall for him to be relevant for the team, just maybe not relevant for fantasy this year.
Right. So basically, I wouldn't be shocked if Pittman finishes a wide receiver two. Wouldn't be shocked at all if he finished in the wide receiver three numbers. Everybody else I'm staying away from.
That's fair.
Houston Texans, 3-13-1. Thank you for that last second Hail Mary against the Colts.
Imagine that doesn't happen. What do you think the Bears team looks like right now?
Probably Will Anderson's on the team.
You think so? You don't think they get a haul for their second overall pick?
Well, if they, assuming Bryce Young was the number one pick for the Panthers and the Texans would go with Young. And if the Panthers didn't like Stroud, they wouldn't have traded up.
Okay.
I think we would have had Will Anderson, but CJ Stroud, don't get me wrong, he has decent weapons for football overall. Robert Woods, John Metchie, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz. That's not the worst receiving game in the room. Receivers in the room.
Right, because we talked about them two teams ago.
We did. But for fantasy, there's no way CJ Stroud is going to be relevant this year.
No, I'm not drafting him in redraft Dynasty. Of course, I'll take him, but not until the second round for one QB leagues in Dynasty. Right. But yeah, redraft, I'm not taking him.
Damian Pierce, his ADP is in the fourth round, 411. They added Devin Singletary, which is not a minor signing at all. He's still a good running back.
Yeah.
You get in the 411, the fifth, you know, the 4-5 turn. That's the RB dead zone. It's basically who you believe in. He's the RB. Pierce is RB 27 last year, playing only 13 games. Fringe RB 2. Fine. I think this year, with the addition of Singletary on this bad offense, it'll be another fringe RB 2 again this year. I don't see him flirting with the top 12. I mean, not even the top 15. I think he'll be 20 to 24. You know, he's a second year guy, rookie quarterback, bad offense. He did average 20.2 opportunities a game last year, but Singletary's better than Rex fucking Burkhead. So,
and it's a new head coach. It's a new OC. Everything's new. They didn't draft Pierce. They brought on Singletary, which is why I'm kind of staying away from Pierce. If he's my RB3, that's fine. But I'd rather have guys like Cam Akers who are going around him, Miles Sanders in a heartbeat.
I'll take DeAndre Swift over Damian Pierce.
Probably. It's a better offense, better line, better running team, but it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen, and you have a running quarterback. But yeah, I mean, Pierce, he's working on his passing game or his receiving game, but it's a rookie quarterback. They don't dump right off the ball.
Yeah, Pierce is way overvalued in the fourth round. There's no, if you drop to maybe the sixth round and he's my first running back, I'm fine with that. But if I go zero RB, I would like Pierce as my like sixth round running back, but fourth round, that's way too rich for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more split. He's going to split a lot more carries. I don't think he gets 220 this year. I'm out on Pierce, especially at his ADP.
Robert Woods, Nico Collins, John Metchie. That's how ESPN has them listed in order. They're all double digit round guys in redraft. I wouldn't be surprised if they all started on the waiver wire, even though one of these guys will be the wide receiver one. Can any of these guys produce top 24 numbers? No.
I said I don't want any of them. Keep them off my team.
I mean, with my last pick, maybe. All right. Well, Dalton Schultz then.
I'm kind of back on the Schultz, not hype train, but I wouldn't mind him as a late round tight end on my team. Go ahead.
His ADP is 8-12, so damn near the ninth round. I agree. If I can get him in the ninth round or later, I'm on your side.
Yeah, he's going super late. God, I can never find the guys on. Here he is. He's going as the tight end 12 right now in best ball. Ahead of Chig, behind Kincaid, ahead of Dulcich, Komet, Higbee, Juwan Johnson, right after Pat, and like I said, Kincaid. Dalton Schultz could be one of the lone tight ends in this league that leads his team in targets.
Yeah, him and Darren Waller, we talked about last episode, I think are pretty much the only two that can do well, Travis Kelce.
No, Kelce, you're right. And Pitts could. He could out-target London. That's not crazy to say. Andrews could out-target the other multiple receivers on that team.
Yeah.
But the targets are coming from a rookie quarterback. Those aren't great. And this is where you can put something in for the wide receivers as well. 63% of the team's targets are gone from last year. It's essentially a brand new room, but you're only really getting, you're adding an old Robert Woods, Mechie, who didn't play last year, fourth, third round rookie receiver in Tank Dell, and then a guy who they're paying $9 million in Dalton Schultz.
Right.
So I like his value. I don't know if he can, I think he could be five just because of the amount of opportunities. He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns. He'll probably flirt with 700, 800 yards max.
Well, last year he posted 57 catches, 577 and five. Dallas is, or Stroud in the Texans offense is definitely a downgrade from Dallas. Mm-hmm. What you just said, I agree with, but I think he'll be in the 8 to 10 range tight end. But for where he's going, you can't beat that.
Yeah. And, you know, he, again, we always talk about those late round tight ends that could easily be in it. I think there's another possibility that that's him because there's so many vacated targets. There's not a true wide receiver one on this team. Again, the new head coach, the new system brought him in. I'm just not excited about having him on my team. Like, it's not sexy. It's not like, oh my God, I got George Kittle, I got Waller. It's, oh, I got Schultz, and he'll probably post 10 points a game.
I was going to say, the name still holds value. He's still does. A good tight end.
Yeah.
I like to either go early tight end Kelce or Andrews, or then just totally double digit round. So I don't know how many shares of Dalton Schultz will be having, but if his ADP continues to drop, maybe I'll reach for him around earlier. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I like his ADP right now and his upside.
All right. Standings predictions time. So if you've been with us, you've been listening on Apple and Spotify. One of my hot takes was the Jaguars will win this division by at least 5 games. So here we go.
And I have that. I was pretty high on them.
I have Jaguars at 11-6. They're not, the AFC is tough, and they're not a top dog in my mind yet in the AFC. They have a tough schedule, first place schedule, 11-6 with Jaguars.
I don't want to say.
What do you got?
I flirted with one, but I gave him an extra win. 13-4.
Oh boy,
dude! Listen to this. Listen to the. They play the Chiefs week 2. You know, Chiefs will be favored, but they're home.
Falcons, they put up a decent fight in the divisional round last year versus the Chiefs.
Bills tough. Niners tough. And Bengals and Ravens. Like, I think I had them beating the Ravens.
But they could, but there's a world where they go 0-5 in those games.
Exactly, and that's 12-5. And then they play their division 6. So that's 5 wins minimum.
Yeah,
They play the NFC South this year. That should easily be 3 wins. We'll say 3 to be nice, but again, I gave them all 4.
I counted those as 3 wins. Yeah,
and then like I said, the Bills and Chiefs. Right. There's a world this team's 13-4. I my safer side, if I had a bet, would be 12-5. But I think they beat one of those top teams, one of those big dogs.
They should. If they want to be taken seriously, they need to start winning some of those games against the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles, whoever, what top dogs play.
Yeah. So I went 13-4.
Second place.
One seed too, which is crazy.
Oh wow.
But I mean, record wise, that's flirting with the one seed.
Yeah.
Because what I had the Jets at 12-5, so.
Yeah, you got to go into the Google Doc and mark all this down.
I know.
Second place, I have Titans at 6-11.
Same.
Oh, boy. Third place, I have the Indianapolis Colts at 4-13.
Same.
And then Texans in last place again at 2-15.
I went 4-13.
I don't see a world where the Texans win more than 2 games.
Did they really get worse from last year? Like,
I mean, Stroud could be a downgrade from 4,000 passing yards from Davis Mills. He could. Okay.
Just because the yards, it's different. I mean, okay, Davis Mills almost had double the amount of passing yards than Justin Fields. Was Davis Mills better? No.
No, no.
But, again, they play the Colts, they play the Panthers, Cardinals – Broncos could still be very bad. They play the Titans. Like, I could see them going 2-2 against the Titans and the Colts, and then maybe beating Atlanta, who's getting overhyped, or beating the Steelers. You know, like, their schedule's very easy because their division's just trash.
They could throw another Hail Mary for that fourth win.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this gross episode. Honestly, NFC South next week's not going to be much better, so buckle up.
But all those teams will be within two games of each other, like they were last year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they should. All right. So yeah, we got a YouTube channel. YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram are all at the Kneel Down. Same username. Super easy for you. If you want to go listen to this podcast, or if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, head over to YouTube, see what we look like in person. Anthony Dodge, and it's just Mason, his screen name, so we don't know his last name yet. but yeah.
I don't need people knowing me.
Oh, God. All right. Catch you guys next week.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.